inches we need are everywhere around us.
What do you say?
I'm not crazy.
I'm just thirsty.
Because it's not what you do, it's how you do it.
Oh, that's good.
We're going to go nose to nose with it.
I don't know. Your heart.
Play the game. Play it from your heart.
These kids have the biggest hearts I've ever seen.
The words are never say die, Chicago. That's right, baby. In the series with a victory, it was ugly, it was beautiful, it was stressful, it was awesome.
It was poorly umped,
it was poorly managed, it was awesomely hit by Javi Baez, who finally connected and hit two home runs tonight, his first two hits of the postseason. Cubs, 3, Dodgers, 2, True Blue, 720 WGN, till 1, 312-981-7200. I'm Mark Carmen, Harry Tynowitz, Andy Mazur, Patty Vasquez, Michael Heidemann producing. Upstairs somewhere, Joe Romano is dominating, and we are here to have a didn't-get-swept party. We did not get swept.
It really isn't surprising. And you stand in a position now where you can put the pressure on the Dodgers. The Dodgers were already talking about, like, oh, it's going to be so nice to have the weekend off. Guess what? You're going to be playing. You're going to have your snotty fans showing up in the third inning thinking it's the start of the ball game.
With their lattes.
Yeah, and they'll be leaving early.
Well, we gotta win tomorrow to get it back to L.A. And hello, Jose Quintana, normal rest. You looked good in game one. You had the two walks in one inning. Need a big performance, but let's keep it on tonight. Jake Arrieta, team, in maybe his last start as a Cub. I do say maybe. You never know what happens in this series. 6 2/3, 3 hits, 1 run, walked 5, which is quite a few, but he struck out 9, did give up a home run. Jake Arrieta was awesome tonight.
He was. And, you know, no matter what the motivation was, whether it was to get the Cubs to the World Series or to push that wheelbarrow full of cash for next year, I mean, I don't care. I don't care because he was great. He was exactly what they needed.
He was Jake being
deep in the game.
He was so cool.
And then Joe Maddon continues his over managerial situations in the playoffs and decides to, you know, pitch Wade Davis 50 pitches.
So there's the negative of the night. In the seventh inning, Arrieta got 2 outs, but then he walked the final batter that he faced, lefty coming up.
But one of those pitches was a strike. I'm sorry. That 6th pitch was a strike.
Oh, yeah.
That was right down the middle.
For sure, it was a strike.
I'm just saying.
So Cody Bellinger was at the plate. So Maddon goes and gets and brings in Brian Dunsing. And by the way, I didn't have a huge problem with it. 111 pitches, which was the most he had thrown all season long. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Dunsing does his job, gets a weird high pop-up that John Jay caught. It was not the way you teach it.
No.
But we got out of the inning.
You don't teach people to slide at the last second when they're catching a short fly?
It's a nerve-wracking moment. But they get out of it and out of the eighth. And for whatever reason, he being Joe Maddon, goes to Wade Davis against a very pesky Dodger team that can make pitchers throw pitch after pitch after pitch. Davis struggles in the eighth. Leadoff batter Justin Turner hits a home run, and he throws 34 pitches in the eighth, 48 total. So 48 pitches, I don't think you can have Wade Davis available for game 5.
We're talking 90 pitches in his last 2 outings.
It's just we're celebrating a win here, 312-981-7.
I know, but we've got to be realistic about
this. But so here's the thing. Joe Maddon, to me, in the regular season, is the most balanced, going to play everybody, doesn't bury his starters, they never throw 120 pitches ever. Mm-hmm. And he's always seems to have the long game. And then he gets in the playoffs and he goes against everything that I think he stands for, and he's just a complete panicker. And I don't get it. I really don't.
Well, I understand why Alex Avila hasn't started. He loves Wilson Contreras behind the plate firing. Contreras can hit. He dented the scoreboard tonight. But Ian Happ, why is he in bubble wrap?
I don't care about any of that, though, for me. Like, his starters never go long enough, and he uses the bullpen too much, and he does it all the time. He got it right tonight with Jake, but he didn't get it right with Wade. You're trying to win the series, man. You're not just trying to win one game.
I understand that, but you had, what, 4 hits tonight?
5, but yeah.
Okay, so you had 5 hits tonight. The first 3 were solo shots.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to create offense, and Kyle Schwarber cannot hit lefties, and he's starting Schwarber out there in left. I I don't know why he brought Wade Davis in, and I don't know why the Major League Baseball umpiring crew decided to screw over the Cubs tonight.
Let's get to that. Thoughts, Andy Mazur?
Well, first of all, it's a situation that I hate to see where umpires don't get enough attention. Okay? Nobody plopped down whatever they plopped down to watch Eric Cooper stand 90 feet or plus away from home plate and overrule the guy that was standing right there on a foul tip that wasn't. All they had to do was turn around and pretend they were talking and look at the video board and realize, guys, this is stupid. It's a strikeout. Okay, so it cost him one pitch. Fine. But it was just, and it, you know, it actually may have done the Cubs a favor by getting mad and ejected. but the same thing, at the same time, this is the playoffs, guys. You're part of the field. Blend in, do your job. And shut up.
I don't understand. So walk me through this for people who didn't understand what happened there, too, because I was listening to it and didn't quite. I saw a lot of rage on my social media.
Yeah.
It was not reviewable.
No,
it was not.
It's not reviewable.
Why is it not reviewable?
Because you can't review
rules,
a foul tip.
Yeah. You can't review foul tips.
And, of course, if it's a foul tip and the catcher doesn't catch it, then it's not a strikeout. And the Cubs were saying, hey, he never foul tipped it to strikeout. And the umpires have done. I do think this is good that the umpires have done a much better job this year of getting together and getting it right. But this one was dumb. Like Andy said, you got a guy standing at third base making a call. Oh, you didn't see it standing right behind him, but I saw it from third base. The guy on third base said that Granderson had tipped the ball.
And the ump behind the plate said he said definitively it did not.
Correct.
Right.
So why would the ump at third overturn that call?
Because the ump at home is blocked by the catcher.
Yeah. He was lacking TV time apparently.
He was asked for his opinion. He gave his opinion. But I think what you touched on, Andy, which would have made a whole lot of sense. See, what I like to do with life is have common sense.
Yeah.
You have a video board that is the size of Montana sitting out there in left field. And I know that the rules technically state that you can't go to the video board. That's fine.
Just look at it.
All you have to do is casually just take a peer. Guys, let's just take a little look here and see what we see. I know it's against the
save face.
The point is to get it right, you would think. And he clearly did not
they went out of their way to get it wrong.
Why can't you get on the phone with the guy in New York and say, hey, you're sitting in front of 25 screens, you're at BW3 in Manhattan, you know, tell me what it looked like.
And to the original point, like, why would you, like, some things are reviewable and some things are not reviewable?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, maybe just make it in the 8th, 9th inning of a playoff game, any questionable call is reviewable. That would be a logical thing to do.
Right, like the NFL, any touchdown is reviewable.
How about make it in the 8th or 9th inning of a playoff game, Eric Cooper doesn't ump?
Well, we can do that too. But
what if it were Alice Cooper?
You don't have
that would be cool.
Better shot.
There's not many umpires, though, that I think Andy Mazur is a fan of.
Here's the thing. The umpires, it's like the old cliche of the NFL offensive lineman. You never know he's there until you get a holding call. Okay? I mean, don't let us know you're there.
Yeah, no, we definitely knew that Eric Cooper was there tonight. Hey, it's 312-981-7200. Love to talk to you as the Cubs are back in the series. Did not get swept, which was at the, you know, last night we started the show saying, is the season a success or not? And I was saying it was. And then by the end of the show, I got to, just win one game. Do not go out.
I'm not going to tell anyone what you said before the game, by the way.
What did I say?
I'm not going to tell anybody.
Oh, thank you, Patty. I appreciate that. All right. We're here till 1. Love to talk to you. And we'll hear from Joe Maddon. We will hear from Wade Davis. We'll get all the locker room stuff for you as well. 720 WGN.
Left yesterday's game, and he's about to leave the yard here. Contreras with a that hits the scoreboard.
True Blue, our Cubs playoff special, 720 WGN with you till 1. Wilson Contreras watched that one for about 7 days, and then he made his way around the base paths. You go, Wilson Contreras.
Yeah.
I'm pro bat flip. I am pro enjoying your life. I am pro old school baseball people taking a seat and let somebody enjoy their life. Don't throw it. And Wilson Contreras watched that ball. I think it's actually still sailing. That was awesome.
As Steve Stone used to put it on Channel 9, that ball went 491 happy feet.
That was run number one tonight. It came in the second inning, and then that was followed up by Javi Baez, his first home run of the playoffs. Javi Baez tonight looked good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was out there for batting practice today. Balls were flying out of the park. I mean, the wind was howling. It was a great night for hitting. I was very much in favor of betting the over. Glad I didn't. He who gambles lives in shambles. It was 9.5. Came nowhere near that.
Now you tell me.
Yeah, well, there it is. So Cubs win 3-2, 312-981-7200. You know, game five tomorrow, you've got Jose Quintana, you got Clayton Kershaw. It doesn't exactly get easy.
Yeah, it's not easy, and obviously I'm sure Clayton Kershaw has last year on his mind. Pitched a couple of games in that and was actually the victim in game six of the Cubs clinching their first pennant in 71 years. So I'm sure he's got a little revenge on his mind as well.
And I think that if you beat him here last year, you know, horses for courses. Clayton mm-hmm. Kershaw couldn't get the win at Wrigley last year when he needed to. And I think that could happen again tomorrow. And Quintana's been terrific. You know, Quintana was rolling along and you know, just ran into trouble in the fifth inning. But I like the Cubs' chances tomorrow night. And, you know, the Cubs' defense has been very, very good all season. It was good again today. The John Jay play scared me a little bit, but the defense was good. But the Dodgers have such an intelligent approach at the plate. I feel like they're being smarter than the Cubs.
That was the Cubs' approach last year. It was the starting pitcher was out of a game in the third or fourth inning because the pitch count was huge.
Right. So where's that? The Cubs still need to be walking more. These solo shots should be two or three run shots.
Exactly.
There's no doubt. They got to play better small ball. They need two out hits. Another thing that the Dodgers have been doing great that the Cubs have not been doing, two outs, L.A. is not going quietly. Mm. They are getting
one, two, threes,
They just continue to make another batter come to the plate, and the pitch count rolls up. They're not necessarily scoring, but they're always extending the inning. The Cubs have not been doing that.
All right, here's my concern for tomorrow. I mean, I like the matchup. I do like the pitching matchup as far as the Cubs are concerned with Q going up against Kershaw. My concern is elevated pitch count, say, fifth, sixth inning, and good old number 70 walks out of the dugout. Who's he pointing to?
Well, you're just going to have to roll.
Who's he
going
to point to in the ninth inning with a one-run lead?
He's going to go back to Wade. But if he doesn't, it'll be CJ. I mean, right? That's the only option. That's it. You're not going to go to John Lackey. That's not happening.
The Cubs bullpen was the third best bullpen in the regular season, and they're like the 39th best bullpen in the playoffs, mm-hmm. which isn't good. But
no, because considering there's only 30 teams, it's really tough.
I mean, to me, it's kind of funny. We all love baseball. We all know baseball, and we're sitting here going, "Well, you know, when it's Quintana and Kershaw, you know, we like our chances." Yeah. But the bullpen is where it gets scarier. He's Clayton Kershaw. He's the best pitcher on the planet.
We've hit him before. We're going to hit him again. We hit him in Game One. We hit him in Game One this year. We should have gotten more off him. We hit him in Game 6 last year. He is Clayton Kershaw. I get it. But, hey, there's reason to believe that the Cubs can get to Clayton Kershaw. There's also, if you want to be on the other side of the coin, one of these days he's going to be on, and they're not going to touch him. But hopefully that won't be tomorrow. Tracy, thank you for being patient. You want to talk about the foul ball? Welcome to True Blue on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Yes, you know, when I saw that play on television, and the first thing that came to my mind, I was like, oh, wow, that is just ridiculous. He was a good actor, though, at the bat. The batter was a good actor, but how in the world, I agree. What they should have done was called New York, because it was clear as day on the TV here when I was watching it that the ball didn't touch the bat, and it wasn't a foul tip. But still, they overturned the call. And I don't blame Joe Maddon for being upset. Anyone would have been upset, you know, overturning that call. That was just ridiculous.
Yep, Tracy, no doubt. You are speaking for zillions of Cub fans right now. We appreciate you chiming in.
Only Tracy's a Sox fan, but thank you for calling, Tracy.
Oh, you know Tracy well. Okay, well, hey, that's
you're
okay.
You're a good man, Tracy. Thank you so much for you know, feeling it for us, too.
Yeah, as was said before on the show by Andy, umpires are best when you don't know they're there.
Yeah. And no one buys a ticket to watch them, except maybe their parents or their wives or whatever.
I don't even like that you know the ump's names. Yeah. Just forget it. Well, it's gone.
And they shouldn't get TV time.
I have a friend that knows all the NFL referees' jersey numbers.
That's impressive.
I know a lot of the umpires' jersey numbers, too. Yeah, that's pretty sad.
What, did you, Eric Cooper? You got Eric 56. Cooper's 56. Yeah. Oh, that's Burley's number.
Yeah. Wow.
312-981-7200. Cubs are in the series, I'll say it like that, 3-2 winners over the Dodgers.
I like this 180, Carm.
Well, they are. They're playing a game tomorrow night. They have a chance. Now, if you win tomorrow night, which is a big if, but if you win tomorrow night, the pressure is on the Dodgers at that
absolutely.
Point.
And we talked about it last night. Yeah. I mean, that flight alone is one of those, okay, well, we expected to be on this flight getting ready for the World Series. And now you're going home to, you know, get ready for game six. Obviously, you got to win game five first.
Right. And I'm going to use a football analogy. Joe Montana was the greatest 2-minute quarterback ever. And he could stink for 28 minutes, mm-hmm. but he was like, he could stink for 58 minutes. But like in the last 2 minutes of the game, he was just so confident. You know, oh, I've been horrible. I've been crap. I've been terrible. And I'm going to get this team down the field and win this game. The Cubs have that kind of swagger, that kind of savvy. They don't know how they're going to do it, but they know since they've done it before, they can do it again.
Well, yes. They won 3 in a row last year against the Indians. It will take 4 this year. But, hey, they've got another game to play tomorrow. That's super exciting. We're going to hear from the manager, Joe Maddon, coming on Backers. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll hear from Joe and hear what he had to say about the play and his team moving on to Game 5. Very interested in what he has to say about Wade Davis using him in the 8th. That's next, 720 WGN.
2-1 the count. Bellinger hits it hard. Got a chance to turn it here. 4-6-3!
That is how it ended. Highlights courtesy of TBS. Cody Bellinger, a one-hop or a two-hop rocket right to Javi Baez. 4-6-3 double play, ball game over. And the Cubs absolutely positively needed that. And Wade Davis especially. That was his 48th pitch on the night. 2 innings to get the save. 3-2, Cubs beat the Dodgers. It's True Blue, 312-981-7200. I'm Mark Carmen, Harry Tynowitz, Andy Mazur, Patty Vasquez.
What?
You're here too, yes. Okay. This is the manager of the Chicago Cubs, Joe Maddon, on the foul tip, which was one point that was quite controversial tonight.
It was not a good explanation. I mean, listen, I'm all about the umpires, first of all. I'm not going to sit here and bang on umpires. I love a lot of guys on this crew. I've known them for a long time. But that can't happen. That the process was horrible to have that change. And if Granderson hits the next pitch out, you know, I might come running out of the clubhouse, you know, my jockstrap. I mean, that was like really that bad. So you can't permit that to happen. The process was wrong. The explanation was eventually it turned into hearing two sounds. Not one of them saw a foul tip or heard or thought it was a foul tip. It was based on two sounds, which I totally cannot agree with that process whatsoever. When you got 40-some thousand people, it's late in the game. You know, the other sound could have come from some lady screaming in the first row. I have no idea. But I can't buy that process.
Joe, just to clarify, so the call was by the home plate umpire on that strike? Or because it seemed like you were yelling at Welke a lot.
I'm yelling at everybody. That was bad process. I got bad process. That's what I'm yelling at. I mean, again, this is... I mean,
I know Wolfie for 100 years. I know Mike for 100 years. I know a lot of these dudes for 100 years. But I can't accept that under those circumstances. If that next pitch goes out of the ballpark, obviously on a wrong call, I am really not a good guy at that point. So bad process. Hear two sounds where nobody actually physically saw or actually saw the ball tip a bat and become a foul ball. If somebody had said that, I mean, what am I going to say at that point? But nobody saw anything. That's the part that I had a difficult time with. And there's no way. No way I'm not getting ejected at that point. I got to make my point.
There you go, Joe Maddon. No way he's getting... Everything he's saying makes sense. What are they talking about? We heard a sound. Hey, hello. Look, come on, man.
If MLB has any stones, none of these guys ump tomorrow.
It is embarrassing. I mean, it is embarrassing that they're going by sound. Yeah. You have. I understand what the rule is. You have the ability to either look at the scoreboard in center or ask the guy in New York who's sitting in front of 48 TV screens.
The only time they ever go on sound, and 9 times out of 10 they get it wrong, is at first base. You hear the pop of the glove. You hear the foot touching the bag. When the throw goes in the dirt, they've got a real issue over there, which is why replay can help save them in this case. Now, again, at home plate, if the guy behind the dish making the call does not see it and or hear it, tell the other guys to just shut up. It's his call.
I never would want to see Curtis Granderson in a two-run homer there, but if it had meant that Maddon really would have run out in his underwear onto the field, that might have been worth it. What are you saying? His jock strap?
Uh-huh.
That would have been incredible. The jock with the bare butt on the backside, mm-hmm, just running out there, that would have been amazing.
Do we ever find out about the fallout for something like this with the umps? Do we ever know if there's
in recent
inquiry?
In recent memory, They're starting to make these suspensions known. They never used to.
He's been suspended 3 games for being a complete idiot.
I mean, Joe West got suspended earlier this year, and thank goodness he's not part of this crew.
And they usually use different crews for, like, the World Series from the Championship Series. So probably none of these guys are assigned to the World Series, but you can...
And deservedly so.
Today, you could suspend him for tomorrow.
Let's hear a little bit more from Joe Maddon on the use of Wade Davis for 2 innings.
I thought the movement was spectacular from the second. I could see the movement from the side. I mean, that's what I was basing it off of. Bellinger's first at-bat told me a lot, I thought, just about movement. And then after that, he needed to throw strikes to get ahead of hitters. Curveball was really good, I thought, too, more than the slider. But more than anything, I'm watching their reaction to his pitches and the swings and misses. The ball was moving that much. And so he needed to pitch as deeply as he did for us to get that win tonight. Good for him. He stayed with them as long as I thought we could. And then, Brian Dunsing's been outstanding all season, gets Bellinger to pop up. But I thought the movement was spectacular from Jake's pitches tonight.
All right, so that our bad there. That was not... him talking about Wade Davis for 2 innings. That was him talking about Jake Arrieta, who was fantastic.
He was.
And whose ball was moving all over the place, and he gave you everything he had tonight, and he got the win in maybe his last start in a Cub uniform. Jake Arrieta was great.
Jake was great. He pitched into the 7th inning, and it was wonderful, wonderful to see him do that. And, of course, he's in line to start Game 1 of the Fall Classic.
God bless you for saying that. I love you. I hope you're right. And I did think it was cool. I was hoping the way that the whole situation would go, the way I was dreaming it up, he had thrown 111 pitches. I was having him go out there for the 8th, let him throw 130 in his last start,
yeah.
And then I was going to send him out for the 9th to warm up, and then I would have taken him out and get him standing ovation, bring in Wade, place goes nuts. That's what I was dreaming.
And you have Wade available tomorrow.
And then you would have Wade available tomorrow. That'd be so sweet, wouldn't it?
So,
that's not how it went.
So if you get an email, to everybody around Chicago, check your emails and open it up, because even if you think it's like spam, because it might say you are a Cubs closer.
Yep, this is true. Wade's not going to close tomorrow. It's going to be CJ if they get to that point, and hopefully he'll be up to the task that's asking an awful lot.
It's going to be a matchup. It's not going to be one guy.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's going to be a matchup.
If it's a start of the inning and it's a one-run game, I'm guessing it's going to be CJ. But then again, if it's a lefty to start the inning.
Strope didn't pitch tonight.
Right.
Montgomery didn't pitch tonight.
And
maybe thankfully in both of those cases, but, they're going to be needed tomorrow.
Joe also is a guy who likes veterans, evidence John Lackey, back-to-back days, so he might feel more comfortable with Strope closing. We've seen Pedro Strope close. It's not pretty.
No.
It's just not. And C.J. Edwards may be their closer of the future, and that future might come as early as next year. I'm pro signing Wade Davis. I'm pro signing Jake Arrieta, too. They got plenty of money over there. Open them up, baby. Let's go. Jake Arrieta, to me, is a guy that doesn't have a lot of stress on the arm. I'd be willing to give him a 4 or 5 year deal, 6 years.
He takes such great care of his body, like you, Kerm. And, I can't worry about that right now. All I can worry about right now is beating Clayton Kershaw tomorrow.
That's fine. Here, we'll get in the news. We're a little bit more from Joe on Wade coming up after the midnight news here, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, True Blue. I'm Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur, Harry Tynewitz, Patty Vasquez, you, 312-981-7200, Joe Maddon. Here he is talking about using Wade Davis for 2 innings.
It's not going to be him. So this is where the guys got it. You got to, pretty much do their jobs. Wade did the job tonight. So tomorrow we'll be able to parcel it out a little bit more cleanly. Strope's good. CJ's good. Lackey's good. Rondon's good. Dunsey's good. Montgomery's good. They're all good. So other guys got to do it. We have to be much more offensive. It's got to start happening tomorrow. We're going to do this. We're going to pull this off. We have to get more offensive tomorrow.
Lackey is not good.
So, okay, we apologize for the mic quality. There's something was going on at the podium, but we got the gist of that. Wade did his job. Now everybody's got to do their job. I don't get it.
When he could have made it very easy on Wade to do his job tonight and tomorrow.
There's a lot of guys' jobs in that bullpen is to pitch the 8th inning. Use them to pitch the 8th inning. This is not rocket science.
This troll logic you're talking about, I don't understand.
Parcel that out.
Words. Parcel it out.
I really like Joe Maddon. Like, he's a, I want to be his friend. Like,
he changed the culture.
He did, and he's won a World Series, and he's great, and he rides a bike, and he's got great hair, and he drinks wine, and he says cool things.
He's got an RV.
And he's got a jean jacket, and I love everything about what he stands for, and he's doing great work.
And this remote control.
And he does great work in Hazleton, PA, too. But come on, man. Stop being such a nervous Nelly and trust your guys to do their thing.
We gotta get a masseuse for tomorrow night's True Blue post-game coverage.
Now you're talking.
All right.
I'm saying.
Let's get into news, and then we'll talk to you. 312-981-7200, the phone number, with you till 1 on True Blue.
It's got some hook on it. It is up, and it is gone. Javi Baez with a solo shot. 2-0 Chicago.
Big night for Javi Baez, big night for the Cubs, big night for Chicago, big night for Harry Tynewitz, big night for Andy Mazur, huge night for Patty Vasquez.
Yes.
And yours truly, Mark Carwin. Cubs are back in the series. 3-2 winners in game four. No sweep for you, L.A. Dodgers. Here's a quick little Joe Maddon on Javi Baez and his night.
Just give him credit for sticking with it. Very difficult start to the postseason for him, and that's what he can do. Starts a double play to end the game. His entire game is spectacular. When young guys like that really struggle, you got to stay with them. That was a really good matchup for him tonight. He took advantage of it. Give him a lot of credit.
He was 0-for-20 in the postseason coming into tonight, and he came through with two huge homers. The wind helped him on the second one. The first one was a bomb.
I don't know if he did anything different. You know, Sam Ryan asked him after the game, do anything different? He said, well, I tried to relax. But, I mean, he was swinging. He was hacking. That's Javi. Javi, at some point, is going to have to learn how to be more disciplined in his pitch selection. But what he is now is simply the best defensive infielder in baseball who has great pop. And let's remember last year he won that first game of the NLDS 1-0 with an eighth inning shot. And he's... The two most exciting guys on that team, Rizzo and Bryant, are their best players. But the two most exciting players are Contreras and Baez, and that's who came through tonight.
It's truth. And Baez tonight, I thought the matchup with the lefty Wood was really good for him. But if you notice on those two pitches, he hit two pretty good pitches out of the ballpark.
Yeah, he did.
So those were pitcher's pitches somehow he got a hold of.
The second one was really down, and he just expanded his strike zone like he always does, but he was in control more so than he normally is and was able just to flip it into the left field bleachers, and he knew it was gone the second he touched it. He'll be in the lineup tomorrow, and it's another lefty in Clayton Kershaw, so maybe he'll have a big game. Remember, Javi, of course, was the co-MVP of the NLCS last
with
year
with
John Lester, Johnny Lester. I hope that Jason Hayward's not in the lineup tomorrow night. We'll see.
He can't. Hayward and Schwarber don't hit lefties. They cannot be in the lineup.
I don't mind putting Schwarber in there. It gives you a great at bat. I can't have Hayward in the lineup. You want to take a shot that Kyle Schwarber runs into one, go ahead. Jason Hayward, come on. And text line here, by the way, 312-981-7200. As far as Wade Davis pitching in the eighth from the 6-3-0, I guess you guys haven't seen some of the eighth innings that we've already had in these playoff series. There's no tomorrow with if Davis doesn't pitch.
Okay, I get that. And I tweeted that. I said, I understand that there is no game five without a win in game four. I completely get that. But there was a way around this. There was a way around, because now you're behind the eight ball in game five. You're trying to force the game six, and I get it. You're darned if you do, and you're darned if you don't. But at the same time, you have to have some faith in some of those other guys in the bullpen that they're going to turn things around.
You had a 2-run lead going into the eighth inning. You could have easily started the inning with anyone.
Now, if you could have given up a home run. CJ could have walked somebody.
Right. If they get in trouble and you want to bring him in for a 4-out save, different look to start the inning. He's clearly not comfortable, he being Wade Davis, in going for a 2-full innings. He's not himself at the start. He gets to the ninth, even though he's thrown a ton of pitches, he settles in. He did it in game five against the Nationals. He did it again tonight.
You know, I think, you know, I'm still on the fact that you want to play Schwarber tomorrow night. He can't hit lefties. I want to play Ian Happ in left.
Oh, come on.
I want to play Ben Zobrist in right.
Ooh.
I'm down with Zobrist in right.
Yeah.
But Zobrist can't. No, you can't. Zobrist has a bad wrist. He can't hit right-handed. He's been garbage all season long as a righty. You cannot play Ben Zobrist tomorrow night against the lefty to start the game. He's coming in later in the game.
He's better. He's right. Zobrist can't hit Hayward and Schwarber can't hit lefties either. So of the three guys that can't hit lefties, Zobrist is going to get the best at bats. Zobrist is Mr. Clutch in the playoffs.
You're going to wake up in the morning, and you're going to see this lineup from Joe Maddon tomorrow.
The same one that played today?
No. You're going to see Alex Avila catching. You're going to see Wilson Contreras in left.
Ooh.
You're going to see Albert Almora in center field.
I don't think it's going to be it.
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
I think he's going to
throw more caution to the wind.
I think he'll have the same outfield that he had tonight. I think he'll go Almora in center, Jay in right.
I don't mind Jay in there either.
I don't
mind Jay in there either. But you got to go Ian Happ against lefty.
But they're not going to. Ian Happ has three at bats all postseason long. He's 0 for 3.
The problem with Ian Happ, again, we saw that ball in center field the other day, and that you can't have that. You can't.
You have Almora in center.
I'll tell you this.
I'm just saying in the outfield in general.
You want to get wild and willy, I don't mind a Tommy La Stella at third, a Chris Bryan in right. They're not going to take Contreras out from behind the plate. They won't do it. I'd be stunned. But if you want to get all crazy and get more right-handed bats, and it doesn't really solve that, because how would they even do it? You'd have to play Zobrist. They're not playing Zobrist. His wrist is messed. He can't hit right-handed. I'd be shocked if they start Ben Zobrist. It's not. We're talking in circles here, but I really think it's going to be Schwarber, Almora, and Jay. And I'd like to wager with anybody who wants to bring it on to At the Carm.
I think Zobrist is going to be in.
Sounds like you're talking Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe.
312-981-7200. Hey, let's hear real quick from Jake Arrieta, who is hoping that was not his last Cubs start.
Hopefully it's not a goodbye. It's a thank you, obviously. I still intend to have another start in this ballpark. But, you know, if that's where it ends, I did my best and I left it all out there. But, you know, we've won four in a row plenty of times this year, and, there's no reason we can't do it again.
God bless that man. I mean, really.
I think I remember being on the air with you last year, World Series. Cubs were down 3-1. And I think we counted last year there were 18 3-game winning streaks or more.
Right. You want to do it right now?
So I think we need to do that in a break and figure out how many times they actually did win 4 games in a row this year.
Don't get Carm ready. He'll pull out the stats. Well, he is firing him up right now.
I will dial up Carmer Zaman and Stats Inc. like you won't believe.
I mean, we did it last year, and it seemed to have that good effect on things. Not that I say that we have that much effect on anything.
It's calming. It was calming for us, at least.
Let's go 312-981-7200. Who thinks the Cubs are going to win the World Series or win this series, period? I would like to have...
How about we simplify tomorrow? And say, how about Game 5?
Yeah, tomorrow's game.
All right, who's feeling the positive vibe for tomorrow? Give your reason why. 312-981-7200. Let's just create a whole flow of good, positive, flowing, beautiful vibes for a victory tomorrow. Send out Wrigley Field in style in the NLCS, and then just get it manicured ready for the World Series. Are we ready?
There you go. There you go.
You like that, Harry?
I love fresh bunting.
We do, right?
Yes.
Yes. Momentum. We need some momentum.
Kerm, you were out there last night and said it was a dead crowd. Tonight, the crowd looked lively.
It was dead before the game, but it picked up once things got going.
It was. The seats all around us were empty. We were kind of surprised, but they filled in. And people were, everyone was standing when you're supposed to stand, and they stayed standing, and it was great energy.
You know why it was empty? Because the Kennedy was an absolute nightmare.
Mm.
I got to tell you, my highlight of the game, Patty was sitting in section 514, and I was walking the concourse in the upper deck. I look up to see what Patty's doing in the middle of, the third, fourth inning. You were just crushing this monster beef sandwich.
Oh, my God. No, it was a hot dog. I had every condiment available on this hot dog, by the way. I am so sorry to everybody who got a hot dog after me. There were no sports peppers, tomatoes, relish, or grilled onions available for your...
I mean, you went big. It was... I was like, oh, my God.
Hey. I'm pretty sure I unhinged my jaw and just shoved it on.
The players aren't the only ones that need a game plan when they get to the ballpark.
I'm just saying. It was good. It was. You know what? I will post a picture of that said dog.
It was good.
I'll give Wrigley Field some props for the food tonight. I went to the Sheffield Grill Corner.
Yeah, where they had the special chefs.
Right.
They highlight a different chef every homestand.
It was expensive but very good cheeseburger.
Is this a massive dog you're talking of?
That was it.
That's the massive hot dog that I shoved in my face.
You went big. Yeah. A guy who deserves a hot dog right now, Javi Baez.
Well, you know what's funny? That everybody thinks that we did something different today because we went to our locker room. To be honest, I was surprised that I saw that. I never been up there. But we really didn't do anything. We stretched like we normally do. We talk inside of the old clubhouse, and that was it, really.
So that was, he's talking about the meeting before the game. They all went into some room to have some form of discussion, but they're all downplaying whatever was said
like
before the
game. Like a players only meeting?
It was a players only meeting before the game.
Kind of like we talked about last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying that was said on True Blue last night. And, you know, Madden was asked, are you going to say something to these guys? He said, I can't do anything, buddy. I do it three times a year. And Andy, you were like, hey, this is on the players. And they went about and had something, whatever they did.
Absolutely. This time of the year, if your manager's got to be calling rah-rah rallying meetings, your team's in trouble.
And we're still in trouble, but at least we're not in that much trouble.
It's
a little less trouble.
The Cubs, look, the Cubs are in trouble. Their degree of difficulty is much greater than it needed to be. It's going to take an awful lot for them to win it, but they can win it. And it's not just like it was, you know, growing up and for decades here in Chicago, where fans are wishing. It's something we've seen. Yeah. We've seen this very team, and they just did it against the Nationals. They did it last year three times. They get up off the floor, they pick themselves up, and get back in the race.
If I'm not mistaken, this is five consecutive wins in closeout type games that they have against them, where they could be eliminated.
They're the anti-Bakers.
They have won five in a row.
So that's right. They won three against the Indians last year. Mm-hmm. They won game five against the Nationals,
and tonight.
And that would be five.
Yep. So they laugh in the face of elimination games.
We need to get to eight.
Mm-hmm.
Six is tomorrow. Let's get to Dr. J tomorrow. Anybody got a baseball reference on a six?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go with Andy's buddy from San Diego. Keith Moreland, the greatest Cub.
Yeah.
And, of course, Stan Musial wore six.
Don't mention it.
Then we try to get to Rick Monday, Bobby Mercer, and then to the Hawk, Andre Dawson.
Zonk, 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 zonk.
Barry Foote.
Barry Foote wore eight.
All right, hey, it's 312-981-7200. We'll have more reaction from the locker room. I think we're going to hear from Wade Davis at some point here. I think Kevin Powell is efforting that one. Kevin will jump on at some point, too, with you till 1. We are hijacking pretty late, and Patty is here.
It's all yours, baby.
We are.
Take it away.
It's True Blue till 1, 720 WGN.
You know, before the playoff, I was so ready to go home. Because my whole family was over there. Finally, got to bring my mom here. But still, my whole family is over there. You know, in a hard situation. It's hard. It's hard to keep that away. But we got to take care of business. And you know, after the season is over, I will go home and help my people.
That's real life right there, Javi Baez, talking about his home country, Puerto Rico, and everything that's going on. Of course, we've talked about a ton out here on 720 WGN. I'm not going to say that he's 0 for 20 because of what's going on in his homeland, but certainly probably at least a little bit of a factor, as you know, people do have lives, and that's a lot of stress when your family is in danger. Patty, you got something that we all need to know, correct?
They're Chicago, and they're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning with the WGN-TV Morning News Team. Weekdays 4 to 10.
312-981-7200. It's True Blue with you till 1. Cubs beat the Dodgers 3-2. Just looking at the lineup tonight, Albert Almora was 1-for-4 at the top. Schwarber 0-for-3. Jason Hayward got in a bat on a double switch, and he had a weird one-handed swing that ended up in a force out, 0-for-1. Chris Bryant 0-for-4 with a strikeout down to 188. Anthony Rizzo was 0-for-3, 0-77 in the series. Contreras 1-for-3. Addison Russell 0-for-3. Javi 2-for-3 with the two home runs. John Jay 0-for-2 hitting 0-83. And Jake Garrett actually hit tonight 1-for-2. Here's the thing. Madden said it, right? I think this is where you're going, Harry, that they got a hit, period.
Yeah.
We don't have a closer to mount. It's on the hitters.
It's on the hitters. And, you know, Chris Bryant, who we've talked a lot about on the show, and Carmen and I, you know, Andy and I also have talked about it on the beat Saturdays. Chris Bryant is the best base runner on this team. Mm-hmm. He's a home run hitter. He is a clutch hitter, but he also happens to be the best base runner. And he's a damn fine third baseman. He made a terrific catch tonight going over by the camera well and got to a pop-up. You know, he uses his body well. Eric Dazé was a big guy for the Hawks who did not play like a big man. Chris Bryant takes advantage of his large stride and made a really great catch. So even though he's not hitting, he did contribute tonight. And Albert Elmora Jr., who, you know, Madden didn't play a whole lot of this year, he was, I think, by average, best Cubs hitter in the second half. He was terrific tonight. Yep. He's been very good in the series.
This coming to us from Wrigley Field as well through the MLB pool reporter, who there's only one person that's allowed to go in and talk to the umpires because they're very precious.
He has to be in a bathing suit.
They're a very high commodity. Apparently, umpire Jim Wolf said that he looked at the replay of Granderson's swing in the eighth inning and admitted that he blew the call.
Oh, what?
That's it.
Wait, is that do you often get umps that say afterwards that they missed the call?
But you know what? I think he's taking the heat for Eric Cooper, who was the one that seemed like he was insistent upon the fact that there was a foul tip. Granderson was quoted as saying that he felt he did foul tip the ball and wouldn't have kept standing there if he felt he didn't. Well, I got news for you, Curtis. You're loved here in Chicago, but you swung and missed.
Yeah, and you know, he might actually think that he's tipped it until he sees it.
Yeah, and then you know what they say, the ball doesn't lie, because the next pitch he swung and missed and struck out anyway.
Right. Curtis Granderson is such an awesome dude. Yeah, he built that field for UIC. Him, yeah. You know, great player. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's good that the ump says that. And they've got to find a way to change that stupid catcher blocking the lane to the plate thing. And they've got to find a way to not let this happen again in a major league playoff game in the championship series. What a joke that these umpires got together and decided to reverse it because the third base umpire had a better look at it than the home plate ump, and they don't bother looking at the replay?
Let's hear what Anthony Rizzo had to say about the Granderson foul tip.
Wade doesn't care about any of that. You know, it's the right guy to have on the mound. He knows he's going to, with the mentality he has, strike the guy on the next pitch. Obviously, with the replay and everything, it's not easy to keep your composure, but he's different. He's a different animal.
Yeah, so that's Rizzo talking about Wade Davis handling the moment. And it's going to get a lot of discussion and the whole foul tip. The reality is Madden got kicked out. Wade had to throw one more pitch. Curtis Granderson struck out. It really had no effect on the game. I mean, that's at the end of the day.
How many times was Madden tossed in the regular season?
That's an interesting stat. Joe Madden, I just saw this. Hold on a second.
Because he's been tossed 50% of the championship series games.
I was at a game he was tossed at, too, actually, early in the season. So, I mean, it's kind of fun to watch.
Mark Gonzalez, who does a phenomenal job covering the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune.
Gonzo journalism.
Gonzo is a great man. He was tweeting earlier tonight that he retweeted somebody. It doesn't matter. Bill Arnold from San Francisco. You might know him, Andy. Madden is the first manager to be ejected twice in the same postseason. The first ever.
Boy,
Madden's third career postseason ejection.
You would have thought Bobby Cox, Whitey Herzog, you would have thought someone would have had that by now.
Yeah. So there you go. He's making history. And we almost saw Joe Madden in a jockstrap. That would have been incredible. That would have been Cubs history right there. Hey, we'll get to your calls right after the 12:30 news with you till 1720 WGN.
Baez in the air to left field. Got some carry. Ethier's looking up, and this one is gone! Another home run for Javier Baez! 3-1 Chicago.
Highlight courtesy of TBS True Blue. With you for another 25 minutes or so on 720 WGN. Patty will continue from there. And, of course, Nick DiGiulio coming up at 2. Mark Carmen, Harry Tynowitz, Andy Mazur, and Patty with you here on 720 WGN. Cubs beat the Dodgers 3-2. Let us smile, let us dance, let us hug. The season is not over. Wrigley Field will play one more time tomorrow night. You know who Wrigley Field loves more than anyone? David Ross. They show him on
It is.
I swear it's like he's more beloved in this town than Michael Jordan. It is bizarre. I love David Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
Part of the front office.
But when they show him, it's like Jesus himself or something. It's unbelievable. David Ross. He's a backup catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody?
You think Jesus would have finished in the top two at Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point.
I'm surprised Cochran gets here so early for his show. Yeah. So I'm out in the hallway prepping. Oh, that's something.
Okay. Hey, the umpires continue to talk about...
Let's talk about talking yourself into a corner here. Home plate umpire Jim Wolf on Granderson phantom foul tip. After looking at it, I was dead wrong. Told you that before. Quote continues, I talked myself into the whole thing.
He's got to shut up. Now, it was cool.
What does that mean? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Harry.
Well, no, I think everybody takes it a different way. But to me, you know, it's like when he comes out and says, I blew the call, I give him all the credit in the world. That's really cool that you came out, you know, and said, hey, I blew it. You know,
and then stopped talking.
Now, when he says, I talked myself into it, now I think he's starting to incriminate his fellow umpires.
Well, I think he's trying to keep his fellow umpire out from underneath the bus is what's going on here.
He is being pretty aggressive in putting it on himself, and I think that makes sense.
It'd be a pretty big speed bump.
But when you say you're talking yourself into it, aren't you like saying you're giving preferential treatment? That, I mean, isn't that the other side of that? That you're saying, I that's the only thing I hear, but that's just me.
That's an interesting way of digesting that one. Are you trying to end the series there, sir, so the Dodgers will move along?
I talked myself into it.
You shouldn't be allowed to talk yourself into such a big play.
Let's hear from Wade Davis what he was doing during that foul tip discussion.
Just trying to think of the next pitch I was going to throw if he ended up staying in the box. And, you know, Wilson came out and we talked about it a little bit.
Interesting. There you go. Standard Wade. Nothing phases him. I'm Wade Davis. I am a machine. I am not flappable.
He is Ivan Drago.
He is Wade Davis.
Let's break you.
Let's do one more on from Wade, which is him on his high pitch count. Wade Davis threw, how many pitches did he throw tonight?
48.
48.
Is that all?
Yeah.
48.
Always seemed like 100.
48. That is two outings, heavy outings of borderline.
Yeah, almost 90.
Yeah. Here we go. Wade Davis on throwing 48 pitches.
The walks. So many walks in these, especially not a couple of times I've gone out and thrown multiple innings, just the walks have been killing me. That's definitely got to get better at that.
Okay, so he's not anything about being tired. He's just putting it on himself. The walks. I love Wade Davis.
And I think that if we had to bet right now who was going to get the ninth inning, we would probably all say Carl Edwards Jr.?
Let's not. I love Carl.
Let's hope it's like a 10-1 Cubs lead. Going
that would be great. Why not?
And pitch whoever the heck you want.
How about a 4-run first?
Pitch Leonis Martin for all I care.
If there's up 10-1, there's still at least a 10% chance that he'll go to Wade Davis and change his mind. We need.
Well, he did it in Game 6 of the World Series with Aroldis Chapman. So why not?
Now here's something weird that's going on behind the scenes that could impact the series if they go back to L.A.
Okay.
Corey Seager is one of the two best players on the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. He is their great shortstop, 22 homers, 77 ribs, and he got hurt and he couldn't play in the playoffs. He was left off the playoff roster. He can come back on if somebody gets, air quotes, hurt.
Yeah, but MLB gets involved in that kind of stuff.
But they're saying that he is way better than he was and did not travel with the team, so his back didn't have to sit on a plane from L.A. to Chicago and back. But they're making it sound like someone will be hurt.
I was going to say, who's going to be the guy that fouls a pitch off their shin?
They're carrying three catchers.
Yeah, good point.
You know, or the kid that they had starting the first two games at shortstop.
Plantar fasciitis, and let's go back to the old days of the Bulls.
Bring it on. Give me Corey Seager. They've been doing quite fine at short. You want to bring Corey Seager, who hasn't played for five games, who's got a bad back, bring it on. But that's a good little qualifier there, Harry, something that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's hear real quick here. Brian Dunsing, the Cubs left-handed reliever, got an out tonight on watching Wade Davis, and maybe he could have pitched a little bit more.
Oh, man, he's such a gamer. He's a grinder. Anytime he has the ball, I mean, you feel confident in the stuff and the approach he's going to have. So it didn't surprise me that he was in there, you know, in the eighth, to be honest, with the must-win situation. So hopefully tomorrow, you know, we can, you know, hopefully we don't need to use him and we're winning. But, I mean, he's never going to say no to the ball. And that kind of stuff rubs off with the other guys in the bullpen. You know, he's willing to give everything he's got for as long as he's got. So, you know, we got to do the same.
Dunsing, you got to close tomorrow, buddy.
Good luck.
He's been surprisingly good this year.
Okay.
He's been better than okay.
Hey, Wade, are you available tomorrow?
I don't know. We're going to definitely come in tomorrow, get some treatment, and go out and play catch and see how we feel.
Hey, listen, you can come over to GN right now. We'll get a whole the quad angle here. Harry,
Ben Gay for you. Icy hot.
A little rum down. No biggie.
Icy hot's good, man. Mm-hmm.
Get some ice, some stem, some this, some that. We're here for you.
The lighting's right, that's for sure.
We're very professional around here. That's what we do. 312-981-7200. Bob, you've been waiting for an hour. Go ahead, man. It says you got the long road ahead. I didn't want to hear the negativity, but go ahead. What's your concern?
Hello?
Bob.
Hey, yeah, guys. Hey, listen. Long before the playoffs even started, I mean, come on. The Cubs pitching staff was not what it was by any means last year. I know Edwards has shown some decent spurts throughout the season, but we really haven't had a 1-2-3 guy set up to go to get it to the closer. And not only that, though, our top guys, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, Contreras, I mean, none of them are even hitting. I mean, Bryant has fallen off just like he did last year.
Bob, bottom line it for us here. What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say we should have done a lot more before the trade deadline to get some pitching and shore it up.
Okay. Appreciate you, Bob. Appreciate that call.
Well, I mean, they traded for Quintana, who not only was an improvement in their starting rotation, but gave a power surge to the team. They all thought, hey, this is it. This is exactly what we need. And even though he didn't work out, they traded for Justin Wilson, who was supposed to be the eighth inning guy.
Yeah, I mean, they're not in this. Well, Jose Quintana's starting tomorrow. That was an addition at the trade deadline a little bit before, but it counts.
Okay, but let's look back to last year, okay? I mean, yeah, the starting staff is a little better from 1-5 probably last year than it is this year. But remember the bullpen last year? We're looking at a repeat because of the fact that Joe Maddon counted on three guys out of the bullpen last year. One of them was C.J. Edwards. The other guy was Aroldis Chapman. The other guy was Mike Montgomery. And I guess if you could say 3A was John Lester.
And really, this bullpen statistically was better this year than last year.
It was. But again, they talk about the bench getting short late in the year. They talk about, you know, everything. The bullpen is, right now, he trusts maybe one guy.
Yeah, and...
But you have to go to these guys. You can't pitch a guy into the ground.
No.
The Justin Wilson thing was a killer. They gave up a pretty decent prospect in Candelaria who went over and had...
Hit over 300, yeah.
Yeah, and hit well for them. And they were banking on Justin Wilson being a force in that eighth inning and perhaps being the closer next year.
I was going to say, he was the guy that actually could have usurped or supplanted C.J. Edwards for next year.
Two very good words.
Right, thank you very much.
That was outstanding. That was really good.
Appreciate it.
I wouldn't want to get in a game of Mad Libs with you,
no,
boy.
No. It would be dangerous, but fun.
Yeah, and Justin Wilson's not even on the roster.
No.
He's doing as much as we're doing in this series. Actually, less. We're contributing. We are efforting right now.
Justin. All the passion. Bringing it.
I'd rather see like a Felix Pena in this series than Justin Wilson.
I've seen enough of Felix Pena to last me a lifetime.
Let me give one. Now that you got me thinking about the bullpen. And one of the coolest things that the Cubs have done this year with the bullpens moving underneath the bleachers is the home run celebration where they do the dance. And John Lackey, who hasn't been in the bullpen and can be a little bit of a cantankerous lackey at times, he has done some amazing dancing during Cub home runs back at Wrigley. So I'd just like to give props to John Lackey, who I know is listening right now and loves this show. John Lackey,
no doubt.
Dancing in the bullpen. You're the man.
Who's the one dropping down doing like the Russian like low kicks? There's someone like getting really down there.
A little low kick Russian maneuver, anybody?
Here's some good.
I'd have to see it again.
Here's some news coming out of the clubhouse, and this is somewhat positive. Several media outlets reporting that on the message board inside the clubhouse, it says travel to L.A. on Friday.
Ooh,
there we go.
Love it.
I also believe the Guinness Book of World Records has determined that there were more foot birds to the ump than ever recorded before.
Well, there was two umps in question, so yeah, I can see how that would go.
That is a solid record.
I think so. It's over 82,000, I believe, was the number last counted. Just want everyone to know that.
Wow. I bet that could be beaten at the Bears game this Sunday.
I'm about to go down the deep, dark road of possibility of winning four in a row. That is that if they
how's that deep dark? Well, you got to be there. You got to live
did you
it.
Count, did you count the number of 4-game winning streaks?
One game. I have not counted. One game at a time.
One thing.
One down. Tomorrow, another game. 27 outs.
All right, we're
just get through it.
We're gonna take a quick. We're gonna take a quick time out, and we're gonna see if we can figure out how many 4-game winning streaks the Cubs had this year.
By the way,
something done right, you got to do it yourself.
That's exactly right, pal. 720 WGN.
Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson, why are we playing that, Harry Tynowitz?
Because on this day, and of course, if you listen to Pretty Late with Petty Vasquez, and if you don't, you should, but it's today until the show ends at 2 a.m. So Reggie Jackson, October 17th, 40 years ago, hits 3 home runs on 3 consecutive pitches in the World Series, and the Yankees take out the Dodgers.
Hello.
Only Babe Ruth had ever hit 3 home runs in a World Series, and Reggie did it on consecutive pitches off of 3 different pitchers. It just, he was so cool. Mr. October, Reggie.
KP. All right, fine. If I'm the
I wonder one. Which Cub will hit 3 home runs in the World Series this year.
That's a great question. I'm thinking it's going to be Chris Bryant. Kevin Pyle out at Wrigley Field. Just talked to all the Cubbies. KP, tell us about the Wade Davis experience after throwing 48 pitches. What did Wade have to say about his, we played some of his cuts, but what do you got?
Well, equally as impressive as Reggie Jackson's performance, Wade Davis in the batter's box, guys, I thought put up a hell of a fight. I don't know about you guys, but that was some impressive stuff from Wade. He said he actually had to use Chris Bryant's bat because he had sent all of his bats home already. Like, he didn't have any bats. He's like, there's no chance I'm ever going to step into the batter's box this late in the season. And he did, and he actually made things interesting. And he said he finally just gave up when he was at the plate. So I thought that was a little funny nugget from Wade. We waited by his locker for probably 30 or 45 minutes. I'm assuming they were reattaching his arm after throwing the amount of pitches he did tonight. But Joe Maddon said there's no chance he's available tomorrow. Davis, you know, is competitor he is. He's like, well, if they need me, maybe we'll see. But there's zero chance you're going to see Wade Davis tomorrow. But, I thought that was a great performance from Davis. Things got a little dicey there because apparently Justin Turner is Babe Ruth all of a sudden and impossible to get out. And they probably should just pitch around him all day tomorrow night. But this is the Cubs. You know, we knew they weren't going to back down, and things just got a whole lot more interesting.
Hey, KP, Javi Baez 0-for-20, 2 homers tonight. How about the load that's been lifted off of his shoulders?
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, they needed something from him, and, you know, I guess you can expect that from Javi at any point. It's just sort of been the story of his entire career, right? I mean, he goes in these dead patches, then all of a sudden he comes up huge for them, and I mean, the bottom line is still, I mean, not to bring a downer to this, but they need to hit, like, more actual just base hits. I mean, it was huge to get 3 home runs, but this team is living and dying by the home run ball. And you have Clayton Kershaw tomorrow. Kyle Schwarber shrugged it off. He's like, well, we don't care. I mean, we won with the homers, but you'd like to see these guys draw some more walks and get some men on base when you're hitting these home runs. But they'll take it any way they can get it.
Sense of relief in the clubhouse. How would you describe what was going on after the game?
No, I don't think it's a sense of relief, just because I don't think their mindset changed from down 2-0 to down 3-0. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't think that it does really feel like a sense of relief. To them, I think it's okay. We did what we were supposed to do. We did what we believed what we could do, so it's on to the next game. I don't think they ever put, like, a whole ton of pressure on themselves. I mean, I guess they feel pressure, but it's not, like, in the sense we think. You know, I think they expect themselves to win every game, no matter the circumstance.
Kevin, great stuff. We'll see you at the ballpark tomorrow, my friend.
All right, guys. Good to talk to you.
Kevin Powell, real quick, out of Wrigley Field before we got to get on out of here.
You're not staying till the end, till 2 a.m.?
You get a whole hour of no.
It's all good. We're doing more Cub stuff.
Oh, there you go.
What do you mean, no men? Like, that's a problem for me?
I don't.
It makes me sad.
I don't.
Do a testosterone-free hour.
Wait a minute. I'm still here.
That's true.
That's a good point. Very good point. Very good point, Michael. My
the
bad.
Studio,
my bad.
The producer's wow. studio will still be chock full of testosterone, buddy.
It's at a peak full here.
I like the delay. Let's go. Excuse me.
Okay. Let's go around the room before we have to take our final break. It's a 3-2 game in the ninth inning tomorrow. It's a righty, a lefty, and a righty coming up. Who's closing out the game?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the studio because I didn't know how you, I'm like, how do you know I'm a lefty?
Strope.
Kyle Edwards Jr.
Patty, you got an opinion on this?
No. Okay. I thought we were going to percentages. I was telling you I think we have a 60% chance of winning tomorrow. 60, I'm going 60%.
I'm trying to think outside the box here. If, like, could it be a starter that would go not, and it's not going to be John Lackey, but that's not going to happen. Jake Arrieta is obviously not pitching tomorrow. Mm-mm. You're not going to go.
Nope.
You're not going
John
back.
Lester?
You're not going to Lester.
No, Kyle Hendricks.
And you're not going to go to Kyle Hendricks. It's going to have to be either Strope or
Mike Montgomery.
Or Mike Montgomery or Carl Edwards Jr.
Or Brian Dunsing.
Or Brian Dunsing. I feel comfortable as far as that lot goes.
Well, lefty-lefty, I feel okay with Dunsing. Yeah. I don't feel a good lefty-righty.
And let's remember El Mora went yard off of Clayton Kershaw in game one. Mm-hmm. I think Ian Happ must start tomorrow night's ballgame.
Okay, then we can have the Happ watch, but I just don't see that happening.
It's not happening.
It's not happening.
Oh, see what he did there?
Never been done before.
Great atmosphere at the ballpark tomorrow night. Let's bring some enthusiasm. I talked to Paul O'Neill this morning.
The former Yankee great, yep, and Seinfeld star.
Five-time World Series champion.
How'd you get in here?
He said that energy in the ballpark in the playoffs actually does matter.
Of course it does.
If the crowd is...
Is he good-looking in person as he is on TV?
I was not in person, so I don't know. But, okay, we'll leave it on that. Energy matters. Come to the park. Be in a good mood. Have belief. It matters to the guys on the field.
And you'll be there.
Yes, of course.
You going to sit with Quintana before the game?
Maybe I will. Would you like me to sit with Q? Do you think that would be good for Q?
I think you should sit with both Qs tomorrow because the Blackhawks play here.
That's
Edmonton in town tomorrow night.
Huge, huge, huge. All right, we say goodbye, Patty.
Goodbye, Patty.
Goodbye, Patty.
I'm staying. Goodbye to you. Goodbye, guys.
Okay, Scandal.
Goodbye to you.
We'll see you tomorrow night. The game's a little earlier tomorrow.
Is it really? What time is the game?
It's an hour earlier.
It's an hour earlier, 7 o'clock.
Oh, God, I can't take the stress of if I get to watch the game, I don't have to race down here.
Yeah, and Saturday's game could be 3 or could be 7 if the Yankees win on Friday.
There you go.
A lot of variables going on here. Cubs beat the Dodgers 3-2. Thanks for listening, texting, calling. This has been True Blue on 720 WGN.